even in a hypothetical income. The last one you talked about what you've been doing up to the war years, and well, basically, I think you talked even about the very first part of the war when you were working at the naval.
Oh yes, up at Portland.
And what I wanted to talk about today is to get more into your time at Lockheed. How long did you work at Portland?
2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your last year there about?
See, 46.
Uh-huh.
At the April of 46.
Uh-huh. Mm. So was that after you worked at Lockheed or before?
What do you mean the port?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you worked at Point Wainimi before you worked at?
Yes.
Okay. And how long did you work at Point Wainimi?
About 6 months.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You thought I meant long. I'm sorry. Okay, so what year was it that you stopped working there?
Forty-two.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now, you mentioned to me that your husband was involved in, this is your first husband, at
yes.
And he was involved in some type of accident?
Yes. He was working on the railroad. He was a switchman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking on top of one that was a mile-long freight train.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an engine in front and a pusher in the back. And they one slapped that man the other, and it threw him off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And he went under and cut his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Even took his shoulder with him. Yeah.
So you have a daughter also.
Yes,
that
was her out there.
Yeah. And how old was your daughter at that time?
I think she, let's see, that was in 44. She was 20.
She was 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in 42, when you stopped working at Point Wainimi, he hadn't had the accident.
No. He didn't have that until we come back to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. So what happened after you worked at Point Wainimi?
Well, didn't do anything until in April of 43.
Mm-hmm.
I went to work at Lockheed.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to go to Lockheed?
Well, I just got mad sitting around home not doing anything. He never wanted me to work.
Mm-hmm.
So he made me real mad one day, and I just went out went to got a job one day and went to work the next.
Mm-hmm. What did he make you mad over, the fact that he wouldn't let you work, or was it unrelated?
Oh, it was unrelated.
So you got mad at him and decided, well, you were just going to get a job. How did you hear about Lockheed?
Oh, it was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was all the news.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been up there when they first began to call for help. It was in the papers and everything, and they weren't all the women they were hiring then was office workers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. So I just went back home and fooled around housework until that was, let's see, I went in 42, and then but the next year, in 43, I went, got mad and went up hired out.
Mm-hmm. So you just sort of generally knew from newspaper articles and...
Well, it was just... Everybody talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, where were you living at this time?
On Figueroa.
Mm-hmm.
In Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Did you own your own home?
No, not... Mm-hmm. Not until 44, after he lost his arm. We took settlement then and bought our home.
So you, was it a house that you were in, or an apartment?
When at the time he was hurt?
No, well, when you were working at Lockheed.
Well, first lived in an apartment,
mm-hmm.
and then we moved to a little cottage,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we lived when he was hurt, and then about how, in fact, we bought two houses. There's two houses on that lot.
Mm-hmm. So, you were renting a house in Los Angeles, in Los Angeles itself, or was it, which part of Figueroa were you
in? Oh, in North Figueroa.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That was closer to, he worked out of Taylor Yards there down San Fernando Road.
Mm-hmm. So he had already come back, he went back to work in the yards. Hadn't he worked in the Taylor Yards before?
Oh, yes.
When he first came out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
So, you decided to go out to Lockheed. How did you get out there?
By bus.
By bus?
Mm-hmm.
So you just got on the bus? And what happened from there? You just drove up, was it to Lockheed itself?
Well, first, they sent us to a school. And then I was riding with another girl.
Mm-hmm.
But her husband and my husband were together. And she told her husband to tell my husband, or ask him if I'd ride with her.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as we was going to school, we rode together.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when we was ready to go to the plant, she went a different shift. She went on days, and I stayed on swing, and so we had the chartered bus,
mm-hmm.
and so I just rode the bus all the time.
So when you, before you went to the school and you went in to apply, I know that in Los Angeles there was a big place where you could go where all the aircraft companies would hire that was on. I think that was on a street in Los Angeles, or you could go out to the plant themselves.
I went to the plant.
You went right to
mm-hmm.
the plant to apply. Uh-huh. And did, who did you talk to, or what was sort of happening when you went in to apply?
Well, there were a whole line of us there, and we just walked up and filled out our application papers and just passed through a line.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were sent here to interview somebody else, and then from then on to go in and take our physical, and then the next thing, I go back and see somebody else and set your time, give you the shift you wanted, and tell you, be to work tomorrow.
So they hired you right on the spot and all in
yes.
the day. You
mm-hmm.
didn't have to come to
ask. No, that's what I expected. When the morning I went up, I thought, well, it'll be 2 or 3 weeks before I get notice to come to work. And
mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I'll go in and put in my application, come home and clean house. Never did get the house cleaned.
So you were, when you went up there and applied, you said there were a lot of other women.
Oh, yes, people of all kinds, men, women, everybody else.
Uh-huh. Did, how old were you?
Well, let's see, I was 39. I hadn't, 39.
Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of other women that seemed to be about your same age there, or?
Oh, older and younger and
also
mm-hmm.
all age ranges.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did, now your daughter by this time was pretty much grown.
Well, yes, she was working at McClellan Field at that time.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she was 18, they called her.
Mm-hmm.
She'd written her civil service before she was 18, and and as soon as she was 18, they called her, and she went right in.
I think, as soon as she was able to mm-hmm. go to work,
yes.
she hired right out of mm-hmm. almost out of high school, then, huh? Now, yourself, they ask you questions or anything about working with, when you were applying, did they ask you anything about working with tools or mechanical experience or anything like
that? Well, that's what schooling was about, to teach you how to use tools. They didn't ask us, they just hired us. They'd hired some cripples that you just wondered how they worked at all. They just hired anybody that could do any little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't strict there. But while we were in school, they picked out those that were adaptable to tools,
mm-hmm.
and put them on the assembly line, and the others that weren't so capable of handling tools, they put them in the tool crib to hand out tools, or maybe dispatchers, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And some they fired while I was right in school because they just knew they'd never make it.
Yeah. So when you went in, you knew that you would be probably working with tools.
Oh, yeah.
How did you feel about that?
I liked it. I liked that kind of work.
Uh-huh. So that you were excited about that beforehand, or were you nervous about it?
No, I had worked with tools ever since I was about 6 years old, when I lived with this aunt and uncle there in Adelahada.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, he taught me a lot how to handle tools. And then it come natural to me because my folks are all, carpenters, mechanics, and everything. So they did all their own repair work on their machinery,
mm-hmm.
and I just knew more. The most thing was a rivet gun and a motor. You had we never had them at home, but the rest, we learned.
Mm-hmm.
The most, it wasn't hard.
Yeah, you had mentioned to me that when you worked with your uncles, even after the hunting, when you lived with your two aunts and your uncle, that you had done all kinds of different work on their land there. So you had used all of the sort of basic tools like hammers and things like that.
Hammers and saws and mm-hmm. axe.
Did the other women there seem to have that same kind of background, or were they?
No, there was some. I'll take one woman, for instance, I relieved her of her job. Why? All she knew was to drill on a jig,
mm-hmm.
you know, that a plate set up and all these holes with her. But to go out and drill on a piece of sheet metal,
mm-hmm.
she couldn't do it. She just scratches on their aluminum is just taboo.
Mm-hmm.
And, she made a mess of things. But that's all she knew, is to stick a drill in that hole in the jig and break it off. I think I dug out 40 broken drills out of that thing before I could work on it.
I want to talk a little bit more about the school, but I want to get back to that. The situation when you went to work. Was the school in the plant, or was it?
No, it was in. It had been a Japanese school, and then they was all put in the concentration camps. So they converted that school into a training school, Lockheed.
Do you remember where it was? Where the school was?
It was, I was always turned around. I think it was out on Magnolia,
mm-hmm.
in Burbank. If I couldn't tell you, just, to me, it was west of Lockheed, southwest, but I think I've turned around. I know I never was, directions never were straight to me up in that country.
And you were driving with this, the wife of the friend of
yours? Yeah, my mother.
And how long did you work, how long were you in the school?
Well, I think, we were there longer than we should have been because there was a part shortage in the plant. They didn't have enough work over there because of the part shortage, and we was over there in school making up that shortage, small parts.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was between 6 weeks and 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
But every week we was there, we got a nickel raise. So we did better than if we had went into the plant. Because there it was every 3 months.
Uh-huh. So they gave you a nickel raise a week while you were in the school. Did what kinds of things did they teach you?
Oh, we had to learn layouts and drilling and riveting. And after we got those little squares, they gave us all laid out and drilled and riveted. Why, then they were inspected. And if there's any bad rivets, we had to take that out and put in another one until it was right. And then when it was right, we had to drill them all out and drill to a larger hole, put in another rivet until we got up to the largest rivet. And that is in the soft rivet. See, there was the icebox rivets. We didn't shoot any of them over there, I don't believe, at school.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that on the job.
Mm-hmm. So these are soft rivets?
Are they soft?
What were the, you mentioned the kind of rivet that they had you do?
Well, they were soft. They didn't take too powerful a gun to shoot them, buck them.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the icebox rivets, they were kept in ice, and you had to have a more powerful gun for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were tricky. They just have to split and my head shatter.
did they teach you how to both rivet and buck? Or?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You buck or shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You had a partner and one that would shoot a while, and then the next time around, why the other one would shoot, you had to change off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we drilled extrusion work. If that was a heavier sort of a good deal, like a cast aluminum, put it in a big jig and then drill that a big old jig set there on the floor. You had to get down there.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your drills oiled and everything, and they'd get hot.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had to learn to file and break the edges, the sharp corners and the burrs off of them, and
mm-hmm.
and burr the rivet holes, because on the underside they always leave a little burr.
Mm-hmm.
And trim them all off nice and smooth.
Mm-hmm. So they really taught you a whole series of different kinds
mm-hmm.
of mechanical.
Oh, yeah.
Work that you'd be doing there. Then, so you went out of the school after about 8 months, six to 8 weeks, somewhere in there. They took you over to the plant?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember your first day at work there?
Yes.
Could you tell me about?
Well, we went in with introduced to her supervisor, who happened to be an Indian fellow, young, very nice fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess our record went with us, because I always wanted everything clear in my mind, and I asked a lot of questions. And he said, if you have any questions, he says, don't hesitate to answer them, or ask them. If I can't answer them, I'll find somebody that can. And he assigned me to the, I was working with two other women on this job, and oh my goodness, I didn't like to work with women. But it was mostly fitting shrouds over the air ducts, and working up my hands over my head like that all the time. My circulation was bad anyhow, and my hands would get so numb I couldn't hardly work. So I asked for a transfer, and they sent me down on the center section, the P-38, and that was it. Worked like that. So I got, we were setting in the corrugated sheet in between, in the beams, and riveting them in. Mm-hmm. And then I worked on that till, well, they begin to kind of slack up and phase out the P-38s. Mm-hmm. That section anyhow, and I went down and worked on tanks. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got shooting the ice, drilling on the jig, and shooting ice box rivets.
So when you first went into work that first day there, had you already had to get some special clothes to go to work?
Well, we just wore slacks and mm-hmm. and hard-toed shoes. That was and no sweaters, and didn't want any sweaters, mm-hmm. no jewelry, mm-hmm. and it's just everybody was wearing slacks then, but that was the first time I ever wore them, is when I went in, slacks and loose blouses, something that didn't show your figure, and hair nets, and they furnished our safety, our gargles. Mm-hmm. So,
how did you feel about wearing slacks at this time? How did you feel about wearing the slacks?
Oh, I didn't mind. Everybody else had them on.
So it didn't bother you to wear them?
No.
So you went in that first day. What did the plant, now you went in, you didn't actually go in on the, you went in on a swing shift, you said?
Yes.
And that was from the very beginning, then, that you worked swing?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Even went to school on swing.
Oh, uh-huh. So now that would be from about what time to what time?
4 to 12:30.
Mm-hmm. And you'd take a bus, then you said, from how was it?
Well, I lived up on North Figueroa. Oh, let's see. About three or four blocks up from San Fernando Road, mm-hmm. and I'd walk down to the catch the bus there and walk home.
Mm-hmm. And so you take the bus in, and then what did the plant look like? I mean, what was it?
Well, it was a big sheet metal building. I think that plant, that was B1 after they consolidated with Vegas. And it was just a big old sheet metal plant, and had been a pottery plant in there. Of course, it had wings extending in all directions. It was all camouflaged. Looked like, it's easy to get lost in, because there's aisles turning off in every direction, and I think the second day I got lost at asked somebody where I was going. Right down there.
So it was a very large
building. Oh, yes.
Building.
Yes, it was.
What was it like temperature-wise?
Well, it was hot in the summertime and cold in the winter. Because the building had opening and shutting doors all the time. Mm-hmm. Of course, final line in the plant went down there, and of course they'd have to wheel those airplanes out through there. They'd have to open that door, mm-hmm. and then stockmen coming in here at side door, and then that way up where we come in at when we come to work. There was always traffic going in and out there, and it'd get pretty windy, and in the summertime, them old roofs. Of course, it wasn't as hot in the during the war while they had it camouflaged because they had all that netting and chicken stuff. The ceiling didn't get so hot.
Now, you had started mentioning the camouflage before you let the cat out the door. There, you had said that it was camouflage, and you said there were nets. And what else was this?
It was chicken netting. You know, like a little fire and chicken wire. And then they had a mixture of tar and chicken feathers. And then they painted that. They said from a hill or someplace, somebody was telling me, that looked down on it, and it said it just looked like a big field and cow trails and things going up. Or maybe it, there was no, you'd never know there's a building there.
Uh-huh.